Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the Father of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Ain't you glad there's comfort in the Lord today? "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." I want to preach this morning, if God will be my help, on this thought: good medicine. Amen? Good medicine. As we look at this today and we can see this, and it's, I guess you would say this is what they would call a doxology. It's a formula or a prescription, if you will, that leads you into the praise of God, that helps us to realize who God is, what God is, and what God does. Praise God for you and for me. If you look at Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, you don't have to look up, I'll read it to you. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." If you'll notice, that almost sounds like the same thing that Paul wrote to the Corinthians over here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 3. But now if you'll take your Bible and you go to 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says this. Peter says, now Paul had wrote this, but Peter writes this in 1 Peter. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen? So you can see in these what we would call doxology, or if we'd see them in the formula or the prescription for praise, we see God begins to manifest Himself and we begin to see Him as He speaks to us. And God speaks of His mercies and His comfort. Amen. Praise God. Ain't you glad that He speaks to you of His mercies and His comfort? Without the mercies of God, we would never be able to attain to the comfort of God. But because of the mercies of God, because His mercy, the Bible said, is new every day. You know, I hear people all the time. They say, "Well, Pastor, you know, I've done this, or I've done that, or I've been bad in this thing, or I've been bad in that, and I just don't know if God will forgive me." I want to say that they don't know the God that I serve. Because my God tells me all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament that God Almighty's mercies are new every day. Now, what does that mean to me and you? That means God gives us a fresh start, a clean slate every day. If we'll just confess our sins, amen, that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what is unrighteousness? Unrighteousness is that it's not right in the eyes of God. And now we know what's not right in the eyes of God. Because if we've ever heard the Word of God, if you've ever sat in a Sunday school class, you've ever sat under preaching of the Word of God, you know in your not just in your head, but in your heart, what's right and what's wrong. And it's through a thing that God gives us that's called a consciousness of our being. A consciousness of who we are and where God would have us to be. Amen. An amazing thing about the mercies and the mercies and the grace of God is that God Almighty, through His grace, amen. You remember what grace is? That's that unmerited favor of God. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't hunt it down. You can't chase down. You can't acquire it. It is a mercy. It's the unmerited favor of God that God gives to all of us. He offers it to all of us. That's why he would say in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we see the glory to God. Ain't God good? Amen. He allows us, just old common people. I like common people, don't you? I like common folks. I was talking to somebody the other day and I was inviting them to church. And they said, "Well, you know, okay, but said, what do I have to wear? I said, "We're just old common folk." Amen? "We're just common folk. We're just old country people." Said, we don't require nothing fancy. I said, "Just put on your nice skirt or put on some nice clean clothes, clean jeans, and come to the house of God. Worship the Lord of God. We just country folks." Amen. Praise God. But we somebody going somewhere because of God's mercy and His grace, because what God does for us, what He offers to us. So we see these doxologies. We see the formula, the prescription, praise God, for praising and giving God glory. Amen. Now, right quickly this morning, I just want to look at this for just a minute. Amen. When we begin to realize what it's dealing with, and it's dealing with our past experiences. Amen. Our past experiences. Do you remember when you was lost? Amen. Come on now. We ain't that old. Remember when you was lost? Before you got saved. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not." Praise God, then you need to get saved. Amen. You're lost. Need just get up, you see, come to old fashioned altar. If God doesn't reveal that to you, praise good. Ain't a better time than right now. Come here and get saved. Say, "Lord, praise God, I say I'm lost. I don't remember when I got saved. I don't remember when the Holy Ghost God gave me, but boy, ain't something going on in my heart right now. So I need something from God." Amen. I don't want to be an old sinner. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. If God was ringing that bell in my heart, praise God, I wouldn't sit a second. I'd jump out of there. I'd run slide in this old altar. I'd say, "Lord, I'm an old sinner." Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, what would people think of me?" Praise God. Same thing did me when I got up, but I didn't care because God Almighty wanted to save my soul. I realized I've done broke the heart of God and broke everything He ever commanded me to stay away from. Amen. Hey, glory to God. Realized I was an old sinner in need of a Savior. Vile and wicked and contemptuous as could be. But God Almighty come to where I was on that Wednesday night, 1976. I knew what hell was. I had a granddaddy that over the old Oak Grove Church that loved me enough to preach Jesus to me. Amen. He died for my sins according to the Scriptures. I said, "Glory, hallelujah. I'm glad He done that. If I ever get to be an old sinner, I'll do something about that." But boy, wasn't that one Sunday morning, when I was about 7 years old, he preached on hell and the fires of hell and the smoke of hell and the pain and the torture and the torment of hell. And I come to a realization, a seven-year-old boy, so little my feet just barely hung off the pew, that they was a hell to shun. I didn't want to go there. Amen. That was an awful place. But God's mercy showed up. Amen. For 7 years I run, and you just know this story, I've told it, but I'll probably tell it again before I leave, before we go out of here. And I remember Jesus, the Lord dealt with my heart that night, and Wednesday night, He dealt with my heart on Tuesday night, but I didn't move. But on Wednesday night, I went back to that revival meeting with a buddy of mine, praise God. God dealt with my heart again. Little old preacher, I'll never forget, little old short preacher. He got up there and he preached, praise God, and he said, "If you're here today," and it was just like that whole service, he was a preaching at me. He said, "The old devil wants to drag you off into hell. He's got his clutches on. He's got them old creepy calls in you, and he wants to drag you off into hell, but you don't have to go with him." I said, "Glory, hallelujah." Them fires of hell already cooked my little old feet there sitting that Sunday morning at Oak Grove Church. I could feel those fires. I knew if I could look over the edge of that pew, I could look right off at him. Granny was sitting there beside me. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I was thinking about the other day, and I never thought about this before, but I thought about the other day. As I was sitting there, and he was preaching that, I was sitting there by Granny, and I reached and got Granny by the hand. And Granny didn't say a word. She just squeezed my little hand, held on to me. Amen. Now, Wednesday night, praise God, I realized I didn't have to die and go to hell. You know what happened? Praise God. I was lost and undone. But praise God. But Jesus Christ come to where I was that Wednesday night, and he said, "Son, I love you, and I died for you. That hell would not be your home." Amen. Praise God. The grace of God come sweeping through that place. The mercy of God come right. Come right there, Brother Mike, to the pew I was sitting about where he is back there. In the church in Oakland, Maryland. And the Holy Spirit moved into my heart. Praise God, mercy moved into that pew. And he began to spangle around my heart. And he began to whip me. The devil saying, "Hold on, you don't go nowhere." He had me, boy. He said, "You just sit right still. Don't you go nowhere." And I thought, if I could get up, I couldn't move. I was frozen in my place. And the devil was holding me down. He had his claws in me. Sorry, honey. Holding me down. But mercy and grace showed up. Amen. Mercy come to my pew. Mercy come to where I was. Mercy touched my heart, praise God. And he showed, "Throw those hands of the devil and the demons of hell. Throw them off of me. I pray God make me free in Jesus Christ."
Amen.
My Lord. Brother Bill, I believe before I ever got out pew and got down there, he'd done saved me.
Amen.
Amen. How? Because I didn't realize I'd messed up. I realized I knew I was no sinner. And I knew, praise God, hell was going to be my home. But grace swept through the place. Mercy come to my pew. Mercy broke the bonds of Satan asunder. Amen. And the Spirit of a loving God picked me up. Carried me up there to an old-fashioned altar. Well, I knelt and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. Even as this is 7 years later. This is a 14, 15 year old. I bailed out and I'll never forget them tears just like the day was running down my face. I said, "Oh Lord, forgive me a sinner. My heart's broken, God, because I know I broke your heart. And God, I want you to help me. I want you to forgive me. I want you to help me, Lord, to do better." Amen. I thought, well, you know, you said, "Well, you boy, I bet he worked on you. He beat the devil out of you." No, he took the devil off of me. Amen. He gave me a place and a room to repent. And say, "Lord, please forgive me." You know what I did? I repented. I said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I know Jesus died for my sins." Amen. I still believe that today.
Amen.
That's been 30 years ago. No, it's been longer than that now. Amen. Yeah, 40. Over 40. And 50, I'll be 60 years old next month. Good Lord tarries. Getting old, Brother Jeff. Amen. Getting old in Jesus. I'm getting closer to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. But I've got that supplement plan now. Amen. What are you talking about, preacher? You getting ready for Social Security? Praise God. I've got Social Security. In Jesus Christ, my Savior, praise God. I've got that social plan I have with Jesus in heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've got a Savior and a Redeemer, praise God. That's where I was, but that's where God brought me from. He saved me by His marvelous grace. Wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. You said, "Preacher," somebody asked me, "So, preacher, you reckon your name's still there? Just as sure as I'm standing here." Amen. You say, "How do you know that?" Ladies, I change my mind all the time. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. You ladies know what it means to change your mind. Amen. Ladies change your mind a lot. Ladies change, fellas, the ladies change our minds a lot. Amen. Say amen. You might as well. Amen or oh me. But God changed my mind. Changed my direction. He changed my thinking. Amen. Praise God. Now I'm going with Jesus. I'm serving the Lord as my Savior. Amen. I know that my name is there. I might change my mind. You probably change your mind. But where I was going is this. Jesus has never changed His mind about loving me. Glory to God. That's enough to make a Co-Baptist shout. Jesus has never changed His mind about loving you. Amen. So Jesus took care of my past so I could live in the presence. Or in the presence. In the present. I get presents from God. In the present. Amen. Right now, I am a child of the King. I'm receiving the blessings of God. See, so many times we think, well, you know what? We're just going to have to endure and trudge through this old life and push forward just a little further. And maybe sometime when I get over yonder, God's going to bless me. Amen. I'm just going to make the devil just slap mad today, right now, right here. You don't have to wait till you get over there to be loved by God because He loves you already. Praise God, before you was ever saved, He loved you, and He ain't going to love you no less after you get saved. And He's going to bless you, and He wants to bless you now. He's the blesser. Amen. He just wants us as His people. Now listen to me. He just wants us as His people to just keep a looking for the spout where the blessings come out, praise God. Just get under it, praise God. Just begin to praise God and give Him glory for what He's already done, and it'll bless Him, it'll give Him glory, and He'll pour out more. Amen. Praise God. That's where we're at. We're living in the present. We have the present life with Christ in us today. No wonder these fellows in their dark sons, they were saying, praise God, to God be the glory for His mercy and His grace forever. Amen. There's nowhere for the church to quit praising God. He said, well, preacher, it's difficult times. Have you seen our leaders? Yeah. But God, our real leader, our true leader, praise God, is Lord Jesus Christ, and He's still on the throne. He hasn't relinquished power. He's still the Almighty. He's still on our side. He's still working for us. He's still interceding for us. He's still offering us everything that He has. The Bible says that we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. I wonder today, listen, let me ask you to think about this. Do you think that Jesus sitting at the right hand of His Father lacks for anything? Do you think he lacks food? Now let me just say something about Jesus. Jesus, he was like the rest of us Baptists. He liked to eat. Even after His crucifixion, He went in there and he walked into the upper room. He walked through the door, not through. He walked through, literally walked through the door without opening it. Amen. And he looked around on them. Praise God, and they was standing there. They was white as ghosts. They thought they were seeing a ghost, but it was just Jesus. Amen. Praise God. 100%. The scars in His hands and His feet and that piercing side. Amen. He said, brother, have you meat? Amen. Said, you're meeting here together. Praise God. You got to have something to eat. Praise God. A good child of God, a good Baptist. Amen. Praise God. Hey, we don't get together if we don't eat. That's why we're 20% heavier than any other denomination. When we gather together, we like to eat.
Amen.
Man, my Savior liked to eat. He was hungry and He ate. Praise God. In this present world, praise God, do you think right now, you think God would think any less of us than He does His Son? He said, not see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Those that are right and trying to live for God, God said, I'm going to take care of you. Amen. I'm going to take care of you. Now, we have a whole lot more than what we need. Praise God. God blesses us beyond measure. But He promised He'd take care of us if we'd just love Him and follow Him. So we see we have what we have in the past. Praise God. God saved us from our sins. He put us into the present where that we're living, praise God, so that we can receive the blessings of God now. But praise God, He said, hey, listen, we can praise Him, we can give Him glory. We have the formula, we have the prescription, praise God, for making it through this life and getting unto the future. Amen. The future holds some wonderful aspects. Amen. Now, if you get to looking at the situation here in this world, you could get very discouraged in a hurry. But the Bible said through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior. I don't know sometimes we ever really get that. Say this with me. Jesus Christ, my Savior. That didn't hurt you at all, did it? Didn't that feel good? Amen. Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's our Savior right now. And He said He's getting us ready, preparing us to take care of, and to take us into the future. Amen. To His glory. To put us in a place, praise God, that He's going to prepare for us. He said, let not your heart be troubled. John 14:1. In my Father's house. They were troubled. They were tore up. They were tore down. Because He just got done telling them, say, listen, son, they're going to take me, they're going to drag me away, they're going to crucify me. A horrible, horrible death. And then they're going to take me, they're going to bury me. Amen. But He said, in 3 days I'll get up.
Amen.
Now they could understand the taking Him. They could understand the crucifying Him. But that getting up on the third day, they wasn't a whole lot that seen they'd been doing that lately. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to get past our unbelief. So the Bible says in John 14 that they was troubled. Their heart was broken. Because Jesus had been in their midst and He had been everything they had ever hoped or desired to have. And they thought with themselves, this is going to be taken away. He's not going to be here no more. But He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God? Yeah, sure, we believe in God. He said, believe also in me. In other words, He said, you can take what I'm telling you and you take her to the bank, fellas, said it's gonna be okay. He said, let me just tell you a little something about it. He said, in my Father's house, there's many, many mansions. Glory. Can you imagine what heaven's like? Have you ever thought about that? Glory, hallelujah. Magnificent mansions in heaven. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not were so, He said, I would have told you. He said, listen, fellas, said, it ain't really nothing to look forward to because over there there's just going to be a dirt road and a couple of shanties on the side of the road and a throne where the Father sat, and that's about all He is to it. But He said, praise God, He said, it's way bigger than that. Amen. There are many mansions. Were not so, I told you. But He said, now listen to me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. He said, you're okay. Don't be tore up, because I'm going to prepare a place. And I believe He took His finger and He pointed 11 times. Every one of them disciples, of course, Judas Iscariot, gone. Pointed at each one of them. I'm going to prepare a place. Amen. And He said, if I go and prepare a place for you. Well, did he? Yeah. See, the work wasn't finished yet. That's why he put the if there. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. There you may be also. You may be there, but you might not be. We got to receive Him. We got to accept Him. Amen. As our Lord and our Savior. We have to accept the sacrifice He made for us on Calvary. We have to accept what He did for our sinfulness. Because of the commandments of God that we've broken and shattered to pieces. Amen. I think Teresa and the kids are studying the Ten Commandments. They're studying the Ten Commandments. You say, preacher, is that important? That's important. Amen. But he said, I've gone and prepared a place for you, and I will come again and receive you. Praise God. That where I am, there you may be also. Amen. I believe that also place is an awesome place. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I'm talking about the future. And what Paul says, what Peter said, he said, I've got a formula. He said, I've got a prescription. He said, I've got some good medicine that'll help you to make some decisions in your life. Amen. It'll bring you. He said, it's good medicine, praise God, that'll heal you of all of your sickness. It'll heal you of all your afflictions. It'll give you peace. It'll be a comfort to you. It'll show you the direction that God would have you to go. Amen. Say, preacher, I didn't know all that was in there. I didn't either. Praise God, but God, it's true. It's real. Amen. So that we can joy, we can praise because of the blessings of a Christian life. Living for Christ. Amen. Praise God. Partaking of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't always going to be easy. You know, sometimes people are saying, well, why does bad things happen to good people? Like we was talking up at the hospital today, me and Patrick, and I said, you know, we're living in an old sin-cursed world. That's why we have to go through these things that hurt us, break our hearts, and cause affliction in us. Because we live in a sin-cursed world. But he said, there's some good medicine. That when we get hurting and when we get in sorrowful condition, when we get the sufferings of this world, we just stop and take time to just praise God. Amen. That's good medicine. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says that laughter does good like a medicine. Amen. Just throw your head back life real big and say glory to God when you get in affliction. When things ain't going your way. Amen. Just rejoice in the Lord, praise God. Because He knows what's going on. He's got it and He's got you. Amen. Now, if you're living in sin, you're going in the wrong direction on purpose. Amen. There ain't no rejoicing in that. Amen. God won't get glory out of that. But if we're trying our best to do right and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, God will get glory. It's good medicine when we begin to praise God and give Him glory. Amen. Lifting Him up. Amen. It's good medicine for a hurting heart. You say, preacher, why should we have to do it? Because other folks need good medicine too, as well. Amen. That's why he would go on in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, in verse number 4. He said, after we've received the grace and the mercy of God, and after we've been comforted of God, when we go through the trials, He said, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen. He said, hey, listen, the reason that we can pray God, praise God when things ain't going well is because we know that God promised He'd take care of us and He'd be with us and not leave us nor forsake us. His mercy's new every day to bestow upon us. So we realize that in a little while we're going to come out on the other side and we just get to shout and praise God. And it's amazing how much better you feel. Amen. How much better you feel. Because you know you're going to come out victorious in the Lord, amen? And God's going to use what a difficulty that you've been in to be an encouragement and a comfort to someone else. Amen? When we get caught up in the wickedness of this world, things that so easily besets us, and boy, it's everywhere. I told somebody the other day, I said, you better get a hold of your children. You better hold them closer than you ever have. Don't let them out of your sight. Amen? Do you hear me? Don't let them out of your sight, because the devil will snatch them away. There's so much wickedness in this country, and it's coming in by the thousands. And the world wants our children. The world knows they can't change you and me, but they want to devour your children. Amen? We better get them closer to truth than they've ever been, or the devil will take them away from us. Amen? Those of you who don't have children, praise God, you ought to pray for these little children in church. Pray that God will get them up here every time there's a service where they throw up their hand and say, Pastor Jeff, we want to sing. Amen. I've got a verse of Scripture I want to quote. Amen. Or be an example to them. They say, Christ in us, that blessed hope of glory. Excited about the things of God. Verse number 5 said, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Our comfort, our confidence, and our comfort comes through Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Amen? Paul said, praise God, everything works together for the good of for the good of the people, for the glory of God. He said, if we're afflicted, praise God, it's for your consolation, it's for your salvation. He says, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Amen? He said, whether it's in affliction or it's in consolation, praise God, or in comfort, he said, it's for your glory. So you can realize that you're going to come through it too, praise God. And God's going to be with you. He's going to take you and touch you. He's going to be merciful to you. And He's going to help you to the end. Amen. That God's going to give you something that can be shared. Praise God. And He says this, verse number 7, and I'm done. He said, and our hope of you is steadfast. Amen. Knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, you realize you got to go through hard things. You realize just because you're a child of God, it ain't always going to be easy. So I said, well, I thought it's going to be a bed of roses. Yeah, but roses have thorns. Amen. Unless you get those thornless ones, it's been genetically altered. And so shall ye be also of the consolation. Partakers of the suffering. He said, we're also going to be partakers in the consolation. He said, we're going to be partakers in the comforting hand of God. We may be in a state of affliction. We may be in a state of turmoil in our lives. But there's a God of comfort and grace and mercy that extends comfort to His people. And He said, all that together, He said, that's good medicine. Amen. It's good medicine. He said, it's a formula. It's a prescription. He said, it's good medicine. And He said, when you get good medicine that works for the situation, what do you do? What do you do? What does scientists do when they come up with a good medicine, amen, that works, that takes care of something? They patent it. Amen. They patent it and they make it for the masses. Amen. When they needed something that would help us to get over these infections, and they come up with penicillin. One of the most magnificent things that was ever invented by man, the help of God, was penicillin. When you get an infection, amen, and you get that penicillin, and you apply that penicillin, apply the medicine, Praise God. And it doesn't take but just a little while till you start feeling better. Praise God. You just give God the glory. Amen. It's amazing. You can get that where you've got an infection and you get that penicillin in you, and by the next day, praise God, you're feeling better. Amen. Let me tell you, a good medicine, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You get Him, praise God, and you apply it to your life. And a lot of times within the same day, you start feeling a whole lot better. God, praise God, begins to magnify Himself in your life. It's a good prescription. Amen. And it leads to praising and giving glory to God. How did Paul make it through his afflictions? He was persecuted, amen, like no other. But praise God, you know what he did? He just come out praising and giving God glory. They took him outside the city and stoned him and left him for dead. The Bible says in Acts, the disciples come over and they were looking and say, oh my goodness, they killed Paul. Paul's dead. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo. Amen. I don't know if I got to imagine that. But you know what Paul did? He let him admit God touched him. Amen. In a few minutes, God wasn't through with Paul. They couldn't kill him if they wanted to. Amen. Paul, in a few minutes, while they're wailing and crying and weeping, Paul began to wiggle around like a worm. Amen. Next thing you know, he sat up and looked around. He said, what's going on, fellas? And they said, well, we thought you was dead, Paul. We thought they killed you. He said, well, they tried. But God. Amen. Old Paul come out of there. You know what he said? He said, come on, fellas, we got work to do. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. He said, after all they tried to do to me, praise God, we got a lot of work to do. Amen. I'm just preaching Jesus, trying to give them a life. Praise God. Got to show them righteousness. If they done that to me for that, we got a lot of work that needs to be done. We got to get busy. Amen. Paul come out of there. He didn't come out of a pout. He come out of a shout. Praise God. Said, to God be the glory. Amen. And them fellas said, you know what they did? They went down the road and they said, you ain't going to believe this. Old Saul of Tarso, Paul. So they took him out. They despitefully used him. They drug him out of the city and stoned him and left him. We found him, thought he was dead. Oh, man, that's awful. I said, yeah. Well, I hope he's okay. Praise God. He come up out of there shouting, praising, giving God glory. And if God can do that for him, he can do it for you. I know the affliction you're in. You know you're having hardship. You're having some problems. Amen. This whole flesh has let you down. But God, look what He did for Paul. See what Paul was telling him in Corinthians? He was telling him, folks, praise God, he said, what He did for me, the Comforter can do for you through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, the Savior. What does Jesus Christ, the Savior, need to do for you today? Bless you and help you to bring you up. What He can bring you out. What Jeremiah said, He brings me up and He brings me out. Puts me in a place of safety. Puts me in a place where love and compassion takes you as one of God.